who ask. The goodness of God, Matthew 7:11. Matthew, the 6th chapter, and verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, the heathen of the previous verse. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. If that be the case, why bother to pray? By praying, you can open the way for God to do what He wants to do with you. Mold me, make me. God cannot do for the man with the closed heart what He can do for the man with the open heart. Matthew 7:7. Christ verifies this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. Who will benefit? The man with the open and the receptive heart, or the man with the closed mind and sealed lips? You decide. I think it's the man with the open and the receptive heart. The goodness of God also requires man's cooperation concerning salvation. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How can this be accomplished today? By man. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's there. Something man must do, must believe. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Who will preach this saving gospel? Man. The same thing goes with prayer. Not only is man's cooperation required for salvation, but for prayer. Matthew 23:37. Jesus is about to say this and probably has a twinge in His voice. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Evidently, there were not enough people of the children of Israel who were righteous, who were praying for such. Is that what Abraham did? We talked about this a little bit this morning, John Isaac did. In Genesis, the 18th chapter, concerning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In essence, Abraham prayed for 50 people, for 45 people, for 40 people, for 30 people, for 20 people, for 10 righteous souls. You might say each one of those beseechments on his part with God is a prayer for those that he didn't even know. As far as I can tell, Abraham was the only one praying for their deliverance. That's sad. What about Cornelius? His prayer will forever be appreciated by Gentiles. That's you and me. In chapter verse 4, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Why? Because salvation was promised to the Jew and the Gentile. And what about this statement in the book of Esther, chapter 4, and verse 14? Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai talking to Esther. Who's to say what you might accomplish, Esther? What about us? What about if you prayed to God to give you courage to ask someone that maybe you've known for years at Kroger, at the checkout line, at the gas pump? Pray to God that you'll have the courage to ask them for a Bible study, to invite them to a gospel meeting, Ask them over just for a cup of coffee. You know, sometimes you got to just get acquainted with them before they feel comfortable with you talking about something of such importance as their soul. Something else that's necessary. Man's listening is necessary. 1 Samuel 3:10-11. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered him, speak, for your servant hears. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. This was the judgment upon Eli and his house. But we still need to listen. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Who we place our expectation with, or is it someone who will scratch our ears? Something else necessary. Man's asking is to the gospel preacher who said that they lived in a town and they would pass by the Dairy Queen on Sundays and Wednesdays. And very seldom did they ever stop. And as their children got older, they said, Dad, how come you didn't stop more often than what you did? You didn't ask. Is that the way we treat God? We didn't ask, therefore we don't receive. Would you feel confident? Let me ask this question. Would you feel confident and secure if Jesus Christ was praying for you? That'd be a pretty impressive resume, wouldn't it? Would you like to be able to say that Jesus Christ was praying for you? Would you feel confident that would suffice for your soul's well-being? That Jesus Christ was praying for you. Look at Luke, the 22nd chapter. At verse 32. Let's back up to verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Sounds like an impressive verse. Sounds like maybe as Peter heard this, that's good enough for me. If Christ is praying for me, I'm in good shape. But there's a whole lot more in that verse. And of course, as Paul Harvey would say, we know the rest of the story. So drop down to verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. That sounds like a direct command to me. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them praying. No, that's not what it says. It says, and he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. It looks to me like only Christ prayed there. Matthew records three times he found them. Christ offered, but they didn't take. And we know that Peter went out and wept bitterly after he denied the Christ and heard the rooster crowing. Maybe Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, should have another verse in there, and it should maybe say, for everything there is a season, a time to sleep, and a time to pray. Consider the woman at the well. John, the fourth chapter, 9 and 10. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, this is Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Would the Samaritans have believed without the woman listening to what Jesus had to say? It's doubtful. She went back into the city. Jesus performed miracles, but it's the fact that she went back into the city and let them know that he was there. He was out there. You can't believe what he told me. And what about Acts 2:37? Men and brethren, what shall we do? There's the question being asked. Acts 8:31, the Ethiopian eunuch, how can I except someone guides me? Isn't he asking? Acts 16:30, the Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Isn't he asking? In all three of these occasions, these people are asking God's spokesperson for salvation. What must I do? Would any of these three examples been saved without asking? There's no way. So, what hinders our prayers? What makes it for us to pray? Well, the first one, the most obvious one, the one that we use to pray, is our tongue. James says in chapter 3, verses 2 through 12, he has a lot to say about it. Every time I substitute teach, I tell those kids, God put two ears on your head and one mouth. You need to listen twice as much as you talk. I'm teaching class. Sit still, be quiet, and pay attention. Just because I'm your substitute, it doesn't change anything. So our tongue will get us in trouble. And I make mention, when you're talking, you can't hear me. James has an awful lot to say there. But in verse 5, he says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Have you ever met somebody who let the truth get in the way of a good story? That's a nice way of saying they're just lying. See how great a force the little fire kindles? I don't care what size that fire, it started out just as something little. Discipline. And that's not necessarily the paddle where you're grabbing your ankles. Discipline. Control of your mind, of your thoughts, of your actions. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Wow, imagine that. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace, and what's the result? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, are noble, are just, are pure, are lovely, are of good report, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. To me, it's no accident that he asks you to pray, and then he asks you to meditate. Maybe you need to pray about what you're about to meditate upon. Do we pray before we sit down and read our Bible? Dear God, please help me to understand this difficult passage. Please help me to have a better understanding of what Paul was saying, of what Peter was saying, of what Christ was saying, of what the Old Testament prophets were saying, of what God was saying, because this is God's mind revealed. Ecclesiastes 5:2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of that. Have you ever said something that as soon as it got away from your mouth, you wish you could just take your tongue and go out there and snap it right back and bring it back? And then what do you have to do? If you're man enough or woman enough, you have to look at that person. You have to say, I've sinned. Please forgive me. The tongue. Don't be rash with it. Count. Think. Especially when you're on the telephone with tech support in India or Pakistan. Maybe before you dial that number, that 1-800 number, pray to God that you'll have patience with that person who probably understand half the words and suggest the same answer to everybody. It's your modem. Pray that you'll have patience with that person. Don't be rash with your mouth. For God is in heaven, and you on the earth, therefore let your words be few. And maybe to help us with our time, 5 P's, proper preparation, prevents poor performance. How can we do that? How can we pray better? Well, how about shutting the TV off? Take a deep breath. Hide in the closet if you have to. Go to a room alone. Go to a mountaintop like Jesus did. Go to the seaside like Jesus did. So that you can gather your thoughts. Or maybe like I did for years. On the way to work, I shut the radio off and I pray. Get out there on the 4-lane highway, put it on cruise control, and pray to God. We can multitask. I mean, we can drive a car and we can listen to the radio. Why can't we drive a car and let God listen to what we have to say? And it probably will pay off at work because you might be tempted by someone who's not a Christian, and you've just prayed to God, please, dear God, help me be a shining light in this world of darkness with these people I'm having to work with and so on and so forth. Let me be that person that you want me to be. Don't let me embarrass you. Be ye holy as I am holy, Peter makes mention. Maybe our prayers are hindered because of a lack of persistence. The parable of the persistent widow. Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Verse 7 says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? You know, maybe another way we could phrase that, will Christ really find people praying? Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. What was that back there, way back there early, about knocking and seeking? And finding, I think this verse says it in a different way. And in Daniel, the 10th chapter, verse 4, we have a perfect example here of Daniel. It says, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. Here's Daniel. Carried away in captivity, 606, 586, by the Babylonians from Jerusalem, carried away captivity 600 miles away. It's about the distance from Greencastle to Washington, D.C. But he still could pray to God. You know, there weren't any dead zones. There's no dead. There's dead zones on your cell phone, but there's not any with God. Or maybe from the inside of a whale. What about that? Or maybe our praying is hindered because of inconsistency. Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. I will pray. My voice you shall hear. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. You know, sometimes we let the things of life get in the way and make it this inconsistency. You know, our alarm didn't go off, or we forgot to move our clock forward or backward. Now we're late. The toast is burnt. You look out, the tire on the car is flat or it won't start. The kids are screaming and hollering. The dog's barking on the door. You turn on the TV and your flight has been delayed. You look at your hair and you're going to have a bad hair day no matter what you do. But all of this, it gets in the way, and now all of a sudden you forgot to pray. Maybe you need to pray first when you first wake up. Dear God, I'm thankful that I have another day to bring glory and honor and praise to your name. I'm thankful that, and then just go on from there. Maybe our prayers are hindered because of the sense of that we are praying to the wind. Job 23, verse 8 and 9. Look, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. Verse 9. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, what's the problem? No faith. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come. Maybe another thing that hinders our prayers is our character isn't in line with God's character. Maybe it's impure. Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mark, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 8, blessed are the pure heart, for see God. We have to align ourselves up with God because we know God's not going to change. He expects us to change, to put off the old man, to put on the new man. So we have to be in alignment with God. Maybe our character is one of vindictiveness. A bumper sticker. I don't get mad, I get even. Terrible. Verses forgiveness. Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them for knowing what they do. I doubt if we'll ever hang on a cross like Jesus did. Now, you cannot be wrong with man and right with God. Hear that? You can't be wrong with man and right with God. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Verse 20. And this commandment we have from him, that loves God, must love his brother also. Maybe our prayers are hindered because of imitation. We hear someone pray, and so we don't know how to pray, so we just pray the way they do. But see, the thing is, their prayer may be sincerely from the heart. Maybe your prayer is only because you're imitating what they're saying. Consider the prayers of Abraham for Sodom, Jacob at Peniel, Genesis 32:24. David's prayer when he was denied the privilege to build the temple. 2 Samuel 7, 18 through 29. Or Solomon's prayer at the dedication. 1 Kings 8, 22 through 53. Maybe Hezekiah at the invasion of Sennacherib. 2 Kings 19, 15 through 19. Or Nehemiah's prayer in the first chapter, 5 through 11. Jeremiah's prayer. They're all there for our examples. We can glean something from them. Or maybe even Hannah's prayer, 1 Samuel, 1 chapter, verses 10 through 13. It may be that we bring about resistance to the Holy Spirit's help. You know, like you heard that phrase, he's his own worst enemy. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know how we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He who searches knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for them according to the will of God. July 25th, 1998, I think this happened firsthand. We were at St. Vincent's Hospital. Heidi was on the surgery table. Had been there for about 16 hours, I guess. And the nun came in and told us the results weren't very good. And so those of us who were there, faithful Christians, I decided it was time for me to lead a prayer for my daughter, for our daughter. I can't remember what I prayed, but I think the Spirit stepped in and said some things that I had no idea that was even in my heart. And this verse came to mind about 20 minutes afterwards. As Beverly looked at me and says, "Wow." I think that happens sometimes under great distress. And God knows whether you're sincere or not. Or whether your car just happens to be going off a cliff and you're thinking, well, this would be a good time to pray. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think that would help with our prayers. God knows whether we're sincere or not. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24. He also said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. He also said, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38. What's the solution so that we can have our prayers work effectively for us? Surrender. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And my burden is light. Well, Christ, what are you saying there? It doesn't matter. We can't do it by ourselves. We need God. And God wants to know that we need God. That's why we pray. Does he already know what we need? Absolutely. He wants our dependency upon him. Because God doesn't need us, even though we are the created. He doesn't need us, but he has such care and concern and love for us, he wants us to pray. In summary, it's imperative that we have an open heart and cooperate in our listening, in our asking, in our taking God can do for us through prayer. We must control our thoughts and our actions and be righteous in our life for our prayers to be successful. We must be persistent, and we must be consistent in our prayers to God. We must realize that God is there. for us. We must imitate God's character. We must be ourselves when we pray. We must not resist, but surrender our life to God to enjoy the full benefits of the Spirit working for us. And now the rest of the story concerning Roger Woodward. You see, those men told Deanne, you need to pray for your brother. Why was that? Because it was the Niagara River, and he was about 10 feet from going over Niagara Falls. I wonder if she prayed. I would say she must have. Because to this day, Roger Woodward is the only person who survived going over the falls inadvertently. July 9th, 1960. His prayers work. Don't tell Roger Woodward that they don't. Don't tell his sister Deanna that they don't. Are you the type of Christian that you should be? Or are you hindering your prayers by the life that you live? If you're not a Christian, you then are not in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're not an heir of God. If you're not an heir of God, then you don't have access to God through prayer. Why not become a Christian and have access to all spiritual blessings? Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 3. And one of those spiritual blessings is prayer. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's even open on February the 29th. We have a leap year. Hear the gospel. You've got to believe the gospel. You have to repent of your sins. You've got to confess that Jesus is the Christ. You've got to be baptized, immersed, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk a new man. You've got to be faithful all the days of your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. If we can help you in any way, come forward now while we stand and sing.